Christian. Greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. This broadcast is going throughout the nation at 8 p.m. Central Time each Sunday evening on both AM and FM radio frequencies as well as micro-broadcasters across America. It's also being broadcast across the globe on satellite and internet radio. If you plan to use satellite radio, by the way, we can be found on Galaxy 13, Transponder 16, Audio 7.70. If you want to listen online, just go to firstamendmentradio.com and click the listen button on the left side of the screen. If you need any additional information as to what AM and FM frequencies to tune into or other internet radio broadcasters that carry the show, please stop by remnantofgod.org and click the antique radios on that main page. I invite you to join me as well on the website. Once you get there, click that silver microphone on the main page and follow the prompts to the public room in the POGM audio chat section of the website. You can share any comments or questions you have with me during the show from there. If I have time, we can address them live on the air. I've got a lot to cover today, and I hope we can get through it all. If not, we can always do a second broadcast on it, so let's get right to it. As many of you are aware, this ministry has been preaching for some time now that the one world church of the Roman beast was going to figure out a way to get all the churches to go along with her satanic agenda. I shared numerous facts proving the prophecy of the Lord is 100% certain in every aspect. And for those of you seeking a review of these particular facts, I've got quite a few newsletters in the Truth Provided Newsletter archives. You just go to the current section on the website. And some of the pages, some of the newsletters with titles like United States Church of America or Global Universal Power of the Pope or Roman Martin Luther Back Together Again or even the One World Church Officially Started, that's the title of them as well, because that happened on June 26, 2000, by the way. For many years, the elect have known of this satanic agenda. That's one of the main reasons the devil hates the remnant of her seed in Revelation 12:17 so much, because we understand prophecy. And we're not quiet about it. That is also why this small gathering of faithful have become the target of Rome. The Vatican will use everything from propaganda that states the only true Church of Jesus Christ on earth is a cult to out-and-out death threats against the those that preach a truth such as this. And you can review some of the facts that I'm referring to on a couple other newsletters, or there's, you know, some of the other pages on the website, but there are some of the newsletters that, like, for example, Speaking Against the Vatican Equals Danger, I believe I did a radio broadcast on that one, or Is Preaching the Gospel Now a Hate Crime, or Year 2001, Catholic Church Proclaims, Renounce Your Faith or Die, that was going on in Mexico, and then Guillotines in America, or The Pope in Islam, or The Pope in the New World Order. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. There's a lot of stuff there to check out, and I hope you do, and I hope you're blessed. The Vatican in Rome has been solely responsible for allowing Satan to direct its every move in the last day agenda that we see unfolding right before our eyes. Everywhere you turn, you see evidence of Rome suggesting to the Christian world its definition of Christian doctrine. Even if it means they deny biblical jurisprudence, they even do it subliminally now. You know, whenever you see a disaster reported on the news media, or you see a football star making a touchdown or whatever, the cameraman makes special care to zoom in on those people making the Roman Catholic sign of the cross on their bodies, which is actually the sign of Baal. It's actually an upside-down cross, if you think about it. Well, I've got a page on the website called The Rosary. I think that's in the RCC Doctrines Exposed section of the Catholic Church. And I've got a drawing where it shows how when you put your finger on the forehead and then you hit the chest with it and you go from shoulder to shoulder with it, it's actually upside down. It's an upside down cross. So anyway, priests appear on sitcoms as the norm of the Christian suggestions in times of sadness as well as joy. TV ministers, they've got Catholic priests on the platform as they preach. How about the pagan Catholic rituals that are honored by almost every person alive in the church as well as at home, work, or play? The media, as well as every Catholic and non-Catholic alike, use the term Holy Father when speaking of the Pope, regardless of the fact that this is a blasphemous title. Jesus himself used that term for his Heavenly Father in John chapter 17. Or take, for example, Christmas, or Lent, or Easter, or Halloween, as well as other numerous other, you know, pagan high days. They're openly embraced now by all denominations without shame. And it's considered the norm in celebration. Rome has literally taken over. They have wooed the Christian churches with their convenient and pagan ways the world over. And as is always the case, when it is gradually brought upon the church, it becomes acceptable simply because it's sheer repetition. And at the same time, those that are fighting against it simply give up because they feel the battle can never be won. And that's sad because you shouldn't give up. Fact is, folks, this satanic agenda was manufactured for the end result we all have been awaiting as true Christians. It is no longer considered unchristlike when a so-called Protestant embraces the teachings of the Vatican as true Christian doctrine. Everything from the so-called immortal soul to the lie about the secret rapture that we discussed last week on the air, or the seven-year trib theory, which, by the way, I was thinking about doing like a broadcast this week on that, but I may do one in the future. But suffice it to say, just go to the website, three book section, click the book called The Rapture. I just updated that section in regards to the how it's actually a twist. The seven-year trib theory is actually a twist on Daniel chapter 9. And it's pretty amazing when you see how all the dates fall in line, because in today's world, in the end times, there are no more dated prophecies. But before the end times began, during that 2,300-year prophecy, there was a bunch of them, including the exact year Christ would arrive as Messiah, the exact year he would be crucified, and the exact year Stephen would be stoned. It's pretty mind-boggling, to say the least. But anyway, why is this? Why are they embracing all these Catholic inventions and calling them Christian doctrines? Well, slowly but surely, the Whore of Babylon has been chipping away at all the hearts of Christendom. We have all been so used to doing things our parents taught us and their parents taught them that many of us just trust that it's safe Christian activity or practices or doctrines. However, it is still possible to open a Bible and find the truth. And in so doing, many do leave the errors of Rome. Yet again, we see the Roman beast has been trying to cover that possibility as well. The Vatican has been instrumental in rewriting the Word of God to such an extent that we actually see history repeating itself in regards to the arrival of Messiah. We see the believers of this world looking to the return of Christ in the very same error-filled manner the believers of 2,000 years ago did. What am I talking about? Well, many of you that receive my newsletters or listen to the broadcast are aware of my bogus Bible page on the website. In it, you will see two major Bible versions exposed as altered by Roman theologians. Over 2,000 verses have either been removed completely or rewritten. And I set the page up in such a way when you start from the top and you work your way down to the bottom, you do see a pattern as to why they removed certain or key verses. Because it actually does solidify their seven-year trib or solidify their secret rapture. But anyway, there are many more than just two versions, of course, that were altered by Rome, but I just chose the NIV and the NASB on that page simply because of their popularity. All the people that read and trust these altered Bibles are allowing Satan to do to them that he did to the Pharisees 2,000 years ago. Back then, the Pharisees misunderstood the prophecies of our Lord and his arrival as Messiah. They thought Messiah was to arrive and take over the Roman government and bring peace to the Jewish nation and rule on earth from Jerusalem. That's what they believed. This is the main reason Herod had all the babies killed that were born around the time that Christ was born. You know, I like the way Ellen White describes that, what went down that day. She says, and I'm quoting this from Desire of Ages, page 65 and 66, she says, soldiers were at once sent to Bethlehem with orders to put to death all the children of 2 years and under. The quiet homes of the city of David witnessed those scenes of horror that 600 years before had been opened to the prophet. In Ramah, was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning? Rachel, weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. This calamity the Jews had brought upon themselves, if they had been walking in faithfulness and humility before God, he would in a single manner have made the wrath of the king harmless to them. But they had separated themselves from God by their sins, and had rejected the Holy Spirit, which was their only shield. They had not studied the scriptures with a desire to conform to the will of God. They had searched for prophecies which could be interpreted to exalt themselves and to show how God despised all other nations. It was their proud boast that Messiah was to become as a king, conquering his enemies and treading down the heathen in his wrath. Thus they had excited the hatred of their rulers, through their misrepresentation of Christ's mission, Satan had proposed to compass the destruction of the Savior. But instead of this, it returned upon their own heads. You know, Herod believed that this one he called King of the Jews was a threat to his rule. So he used his powers to try and prevent his arrival. Well, it's happening again, people. In today's world, you have a large amount of people claiming to be Christians, preaching that when Jesus arrives, he will reign on earth 1,000 years and take over all the governments to bring peace. You know, you can't find that in the Bible. Why do they believe this easy-to-expose lie? Because they are holding a bogus Bible in their hands, thinking it's the Word of God. And at the same time, they are listening to the Roman talk preachers, twisting the Word so as to tickle their ears. And even in these bogus Bibles, you can find the truth, as long as you don't do it or read the Bible the way they preach it. In other words, they'll remove a section here and speak on it, or remove a section there and speak on it. They'll take it out of context. On my 1,000 years page in the prophecy section of the website, I share the biblical facts about where we will be during, or rather before, during, and after the 1,000 years prophecy speaks of. And that page has got hardly any comments from me. It's just mostly scripture. It's that blunt, but those scriptures aren't going to be proclaimed from your pulpits, mostly, anyway. But if you look at that page with an NIV or an NASB or an RSV Bible, you'll find numerous verses appear to be either missing or rewritten for some strange reason. Well, I use the King James Bible, and I do so for a reason. Not only is it the only Bible that matches up with the Dead Sea Scrolls, it's also the Bible that Rome hates with a passion. And in fact, I have a copy of the original preface of the King James Bible on my site in the warnings section of the website. It speaks of the popes of Rome in a way that no doubt angers them. Is it any wonder the new versions of the King James Bible never carry that preface? It's a no-brainer on my end. The agenda of Satan is easily known, my friends, if you just look at his past actions. 2,000 years ago, he needed to get the government in such a place that would allow him to attack Jesus Christ personally. Even if the Jews were used by Satan in a major way to get the government involved. And now we see this happening today. It appears everyone is believing now that when Jesus comes, he will take over the governments of this world and put an end to their evil rule and then reign on earth 1,000 years. When the Bible says plainly, we're not going to be on this planet during that time. That's the 1,000 years the devil wanders around with no one to tempt. That's why he's chained without the ability. I mean, you can't chain a demon. Look at the guy that was running around naked in the graveyard when Jesus walked up. He couldn't hold chains. I mean, the chains, he kept snapping them. And this is a naked man. Now imagine Satan. The chains are symbolic in that particular scripture, that prophecy. He's chained because, like as Jeremiah puts it, there's no one to lament over them. There's bodies. They're like dung on the earth. They're dead from one end of the world to the other. Regardless of the fact that this thousand-year reign of Christ on the planet is a false prophetic utterance, the government doesn't like that idea at all. You know, the government can't decipher prophecy either. The error-filled preachers and teachers are doing the exact same thing the Pharisees did. They are getting the men in power to look upon this second coming of Christ as a major threat to them. And in a rage-filled fervor of activity, they're making plans to stop any and all preachings, teachings, and conversations of the same. Since the devil has been so successful in getting all the religions into a massive group hug by using the Pope of today, he can now use this ecumenical movement to his advantage. In the first newsletter that I mentioned earlier, that was called United States Church of America, you'll find that the Vatican has been very busy behind the closed doors making sure certain laws were being lobbied and passed that would directly affect every single Christian the world over. This government, all the governments of the world, are believing these false prophecies the same way the governments in Herod's day believed it. I received an article quite a while back that will no doubt shock many of you to the core. Hopefully, this will also awaken many of you out of a spiritual slumber. This article proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are indeed on the threshold of the enforcement of the mark of the beast. In the Trumpet, Volume 9, Issue 6, November-December issue of 2001, the publication stated that the most prominent and successful certified public accountant firm in the nation today that specializes in keeping churches out of trouble with the Internal Revenue Service is now boldly saying to the pastors of America that they not only have to be ordained by God, but they got to be ordained by the IRS. That's right. The United States Church of America seems to be officially open for business. In this article, Dr. Greg J. Dixon is reporting that in order to be able to receive or keep your 501c3 tax-free status as a church, you not only have to agree that all other churches, including non-Christian churches, are equal to yours in every way, but you must also agree to teach and embrace the sacraments of the Roman Catholic Vatican as Christian requirements in order to receive tax-free status. Now, before getting to the article, let me say this. I mean, this article is going to floor some of you when you hear this. This is really, I got it, the whole thing on the website, it's called My Roman Catholic IRS Page. I believe it's in the warning section. In this article, you will see how the Roman Catholic Church has not only infiltrated, but has taken complete control of the IRS. This has been done for the sole purpose of stopping the mouths of those churches that will not go along with the Vatican and Rome. The government of the USA is showing the birth pangs of Herodian theology here. They are running scared, thinking those twisted sermons and misunderstood prophecies of those bogus Bible preachers are true. They think Jesus is coming to reign on earth and take away their ability to bilk billions out of your pockets on a weekly basis. So they are making plans, just like Herod in his day, to ensure their reign goes undisturbed. And we owe it all to those preachers, pastors, priests, ministers, and lay people grasping the bogus Bible of the Roman Catholic printing presses. Our own religious leaders have given Satan a majority. I mean, they have also given a major opportunity on top of it to seal the fates of billions by their uninspired sermons. Well, they may be inspired, but they weren't inspired by God. I honestly believe this is one major method that the beast in Rome will use to enforce its mark in the very near future. Many churches will no doubt fall for this ploy of Rome and go along with the Roman IRS and sign away their religious freedoms so as to stay in business. The business of making money. Preachers of filthy lucre. And that's what happens. You know, when preachers look at their ministerial duties as a career instead of a calling. However, there are those that will not go along. The article is a detailed description of one small church that did just that. Of course, they're going to have to make an example of somebody, so they got to flex and flex and flex and show their power so that later on, when they start flexing in front of people, they say, well, you know, if you don't go along with us, look what happened to this guy. As for those that do go along with the Vatican-sanctioned IRS requirements, are you wondering how these so-called Christian preachers see no wrong in yoking with unbelievers? Well, it has to do with some major religious leaders that have been recorded declaring that Jesus is no longer necessary to gain heaven. As a matter of fact, I did a radio broadcast about that back in February 29th of 2004. I think it was my third broadcast on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. For the documented facts, I got three newsletters that I deal with directly of that. It's in the newsletter section again, the current section of the website. Just go to the Truth Provided newsletters. I think it's the first click on that menu. One of the newsletters is called Next Pope Declares Jesus Not Necessary for Salvation, and that's actually Cardinal Francis Arinz. He's slated as the next possible pope, and he's also the guy that's charging the, you know, he's the one that leads the charge or spearheads the charge of ecumenicalism out of the Vatican. The next one is Graham, that's Billy Graham, and Robert Shuler proclaimed Jesus Christ unnecessary. I've got these transcripts of their whole interview in that one. And then I got the one newsletter that says, the headline is Pope Says Jesus Not Needed. Or you can just go to my Rome Says Jesus Not Needed page in the RCC Exposed section of the website. I cover all of it there. All three of the newsletters are just more or less peppering that whole page. I mean, it's all in there. So, by the way, please pray for those church leaders that have started churches and have gone to the unbiblical route of incorporating their churches as a business to receive their tax-free status of 501c3. Those churches will soon be attacked by the IRS and forced into signing away their religious freedom so as to go along with Rome. And those that don't, and I'm not blaming them either, these churches, they didn't know. They didn't know they were getting set up. And for those that don't go along, they're going to have their tax-free status removed immediately, which, by the way, will be retroactive as well. That means if they were a church for 20 years with tax-free status, then they owe those back taxes, plus penalties and interests. That amounts to millions. And it will effectively shut them down, as well as put the pastors and the board members in a financial disaster status immediately. And you don't have to be a huge church for this thing to mushroom either, because we all know how the IRS compounds interest and how they can multiply their penalties in massive amounts. I mean, 20 years worth of penalties, interest, and back taxes, not to mention that special excise tax for getting caught, as the IRS puts it. Even the small churches will be hit with such a sum that will just effectively wipe them out. So, here's the article. Again, it's from the Trumpet, Volume 9, Issue 6, or the November-December issue of 2001. You can get it from their website. On my Roman Catholic IRS page, I do have a link that goes directly to this article on their website. And they publicize this stuff all over the place. It's got a pretty good readership, I guess. The headline is, Internal Revenue Service, : Pastors Must Be Ordained by the IRS, by Dr. Greg J. Dixon. He goes on to say, the most prominent and successful certified public accountant firm in the nation today that specializes in keeping churches out of trouble with the Internal Revenue Service is now boldly saying to the pastors of America that they not only have to be ordained by God, but also the IRS. They also say that the IRS is dictating terms to the churches by declaring in clear and no uncertain terms that the government doesn't want your Bible, they want your checkbook. In seminars all over the U.S., Chitwood and Chitwood of Chattanooga, Tennessee, is repeating this startling announcement to pastors and church leaders. Without so much as a blush, Michael Chitwood, the main speaker, says, besides the above quotes, Pastor, if you don't get your house in order, get ready. You are going to have a jail ministry. As he practically screams out to those present as to what pastors and church leaders must do to avoid jail time and the confiscation of church property by the federal government. Sounds like a nice guy, doesn't he? I mean, please understand, the government must have a bold and intimidating character at the forefront of a department such as this. So expect this kind of boisterous talk, you know, like the huge Roman columns you see in Washington. This is done to intimidate. Nothing more, nothing less. Getting back. Besides the pastor's job description, which is based on Roman Catholic model of worship and polity, that's an actual word, I looked it up. The IRS is demanding many other things that are clearly designed to make the IRS commissioner the new head of the churches in America. Some of these demands are as follows. I hope you're sitting down. The church must collect a federal ID or social security number from the visiting evangelists, missionaries, preachers, and singers before they invite them to the pulpit. They must give a form, 1099, to any minister who receives up to $600 in a year's time, which includes missionary support. If the ID is not received, the church leaders must withhold a jeopardy assessment of 39% on the spot and send it to the IRS. They must agree to the IRS definition of benevolence. We'll get into that later. They cannot deal in cash at any level, but must deposit all offerings into a checking account, and write checks for every purpose, you know, paper trail. This means, of course, that the church, in order to conduct its ministry, has to have an employer identification number, which must be provided by the IRS by filing the form SS-4, which a true New Testament church could never do, and remain obedient to her Lord. In fact, church leaders would have to misrepresent the church as a religious organization rather than a New Testament church to do so. They have to lie to get this tax-free status. Other things that pastors and church leaders are required to do are to be an informer against their members and also to preach only IRS-prescribed sermons. I know that's a shocker and it doesn't sound believable, but we'll get into that. Also, all fundraising material must be submitted to the IRS for their approval. The job description for pastors is a list of 9 specific sacerdotal duties. Nice word, huh? Which, again, is a Roman Catholic definition meaning sacred. Now, stopping here for a moment. Understand, the IRS is the one using these Roman Catholic terms in their definitions of job description duties of pastors. The word sacerdotal, you know, S-A-C-E-R-D-O-T-A-L, it's Latin. The word sacerdotal alone should cause a red flag to spring up in any true Christian preacher. the world over. But seeing how Rome has been busy infiltrating their churches, as well as educational institutions that graduate thousands of students, ministers annually, they simply don't see the telltale signs of a Roman Catholic church. Getting back to the article. The Catholic Church teaches that these sacraments, when administered by a priest, are essential to one's salvation. This is totally opposite to the Bible definition, which states that baptism and communion are memorials of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that they follow salvation. The nine duties that the IRS imposes are this. These are the nine duties. Number one, baptisms. Number two, weddings. Number three, serving the Eucharist. Again, another Latin term from Rome. We'll get into that. Number four, teaching. Number five, spiritual counseling. Number six, christenings. Number seven, baby dedications. Number eight, administration of church affairs. And number nine, regular conducting of worship services. Now, before moving on, again, we see here that the IRS is again using Latin. Or, should I put it in just plain Roman Catholic theology or terminology here? The word Eucharist is native to Roman Catholic Baal worship. It's the title that preaches a solar disc-shaped piece of bread is truly the body and the blood of Jesus Christ incarnate. When you walk, I was a Eucharistic minister for the Roman Catholic Church. That little round wafer that you hand to the people and you go, you know, the body of Christ, if they don't say amen, they ain't getting the bread. They got to agree that that is God in my hand when I hand it to them. That theology actually started first in Babylon, when they would make small wafers shaped like the sun, because they worshipped Baal, which is the sun, and they were shaped like the sun, and it was to be eaten as food and considered truly to be Baal incarnate. Even, check this out, even the etching of the sun is found on one side of the wafer. I used to have these things in my hand. I know what I'm talking about, and I got pictures of them on the website. Even the etching of the sun on one side of the wafer, and on the other side of the wafer, it still has, just like they did back in Babylonian days, and I got pictures of this as well, the IHS on it, of the pagan wafer. It's on the Roman Catholic little Eucharist, they call it. IHS. That's Isis, Horus, and Seb. The three, you know, like Trinitarian kind of small, minor little sun gods that, I guess, you know, do whatever Baal would have them do. So, anyway, stick around, please. This article goes on quite a bit more. We've got a lot of information, some of it that's going to really shock the daylights out of you, so please stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. The phone number to call in, 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance, please use 559-733-5161. I hope to be able to answer calls, but got a lot to cover. The article continues on to say, if the pastor does a substantial number of these things, he will receive very lucrative tax breaks. This is in clear violation of the scriptures concerning the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which the Lord Jesus said that he hates, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 6, or Revelation 2:15, of course. It is the setting up of a privileged class of clergy with benefits from the state that lay members do not receive. Others who minister to the church in the area of music, youth, children, education, and other areas of responsibility don't even qualify. This is consistent with what the officials of the IRS told attorney David Gibbs of the Christian Law Association, or CLA, in 1984, when they said that their definition of a church is once per week adult worship. They said they did not consider such ministries as Sunday school, Christian schools, buses, youth camps, vacation, Bible schools, nursing homes, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, I'm not a Sunday keeper, for those of you that are listening. I am a Sabbath-keeping Christian, the seventh day, you know, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. These things, you know, removing their Sunday schools or their Christian schools or their buses or youth camps or vacation, Bible schools or whatever, this is what falls within their definition of the word church. This, or Gibbs / IRS meeting, took place in Washington, D.C. at the time that the so-called champion of Christian liberty was hammering out a compromise with the Dole Committee, you know, Senator Bob Dole, Republican of Kansas, in the U.S. Senate to bring the churches into compliance with the FICA tax, or Social Security laws. This was the deal that would eventually cause the raid and seizure of the Baptist Temple 17 years later. It's too bad that Gibbs didn't sound the alarm at that time and call the Bible-believing pastors together for a summit meeting to map out a strategy that could have possibly saved our churches and ministries, this preacher is saying in this article. The unregistered church pastors tried, but unfortunately our words fell on deaf ears. The so-called big preachers were too busy receiving their tax-deductible gifts and building their empires to be concerned over the future of God's work. Now, the enemies of Christ have sprung the trap, and it's too late. The article goes on to say these requirements should be intolerable enough by just the fact that the IRS would even dare to suggest duties for pastors, but to impose under the penalty of imprisonment and confiscation of property the same responsibilities of Roman Catholic priests is nothing short of naked tyranny or tyranny. Obviously, the Inquisition has returned, and the pastors and churches of America are not even aware it has arrived. The raid and seizure of the property of the Baptist Temple is the direct result of the pastors and church refusing to bow down to this new wave of Catholic terror that has come upon our land. The issue in the Baptist Temple case isn't taxes, as the IRS, with the help of the media, has led the people of Indianapolis and the nation to believe. The issue is very simple. Will the churches of America bow down to the IRS in violation of the first commandment, thou shalt not have have no other gods before me? Or will they bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or our Lord said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Of course, that's Matthew 6:24. The purge is now on as we hear of churches and ministries being closed on a regular basis, but there's still no evidence that the pastors have awakened from their stupor. You know, I don't expect that they will soon either, you know. Just like they clammed up when Roe versus Wade was pushing their agenda. They clammed up when the homosexuals in Canada decided to seek laws to have preachers jailed for using Bibles to warn them. They clammed up when Rome was caught molesting thousands of their own children. They clammed up when laws were passed allowing thousands of pedophiles to be released into the community as regular citizens. And they're even clamming up now when Rome's homosexual agenda is being enacted in California. Oh, by the way, I just got some new information. I think I got it this morning for my next newsletter in regards to this homosexual stuff going on in California. Remember I was saying about, I mentioned this in about a year or so ago on one of the newsletters, but I think I mentioned it on the air as well, that what I see happening in Europe is going to happen here on the northern, or like the American continent. You know, like there's certain laws being passed in Canada. There's certain laws being passed in Canada. And there's certain laws being passed in Mexico, and there's certain laws being passed in the USA that aren't valid in other, you know, like in the border countries. But now there's documentation coming out that they are planning on making this one solid continent like they did in Europe, and the laws will be valid that are being passed in Canada will be valid in USA and vice versa. So, but I'll get, you know, that's the newsletter I'm working on right now. But getting back, like I said, they were claiming up on Rome's homosexual agenda being enacted in California. So don't expect the so-called religious leaders to do anything. I mean, look at them on TV and see how they love their Armani suits or their Gucci shoes or their Rolex watches, their Mercedes-Benz or their million-dollar mansions. Do you actually think that they will say, stop persecuting those Christians to the IRS? If they do, all their tax rewards will not only disappear, they're also going to have to deal with the back taxes and penalties to boot. Truth is, folks, they're hirelings. They don't love the flock. They run at the first sign of danger. The benevolent, now here, getting back to the article, it says this, the benevolent requirements for churches are beyond atrocious. They are five in number. And they got them listed here. It says food, clothing, housing, medical emergencies, and utilities. The church cannot help with transportation or auto repairs and a myriad of other things that churches have historically done on a regular basis. The church cannot make loans to pastors, members, or others, which churches have always done. Obviously, they won't. They want to make sure that the money lenders get their profits even from the poor. Can you imagine the government of the USA limiting a church as to its duties regarding charitable activity? There is no subject in the Bible that is nearer to the heart of God than charity. According to the Apostle James, it is the test of a pure religion in James 1:27. Paul the Apostle declares that charity is of a higher value even than preaching and sacrifice in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1-3. For the churches to debase such a high and noble service to Christ by submitting to its administration to the wicked IRS is beyond belief. How will the preachers of America give an account of caving into this coercion by an abusive Bush administration who is continuing with the policies of those before him? How will church leaders face the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ when he asks them why they violated his clear commands concerning almsgiving? He said, take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. But now the churches are required to get permission of the IRS before helping someone other than in the manner and purpose that they approve. Then records will have to be kept for the IRS so that the publicans can make sure that the church is in fact following their guidelines. And of course, they expect church leaders to report the alms giving to the IRS so that they can even gouge the poor for more tribute. And all of this so the churches can keep their tax exemption and the people can get their precious tax deductions for their tithes and offerings. As James Dobson's organization was said when challenged, it's just good stewardship. Thievery. Good stewardship? How sad. It may be that the churches have now gone too far. When they begin building their dynasties on the backs of the poor, our Lord, no doubt, will be swift in his removal of their candlestick. He said to the church at Ephesus, remember therefore when thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. That's Revelation 2:5, of course. Now for the real strange stuff. You thought it was bad? It gets worse. What you're about to learn now is very graphic, so be ready for it. If this doesn't prove to you that the Vatican has 100% control over the situation, nothing will then. Only a willfully blind person will miss these facts. There's a sub-headline to this part of the article. It says, all churches now required to join IRS Superchurch. It goes on to say, it says, two other developments concerning IRS control of the churches has risen recently that should literally send shockwaves throughout the religious community. First, while the churches are arguing doctrinal positions among themselves and won't even spit on each other for the most part, the IRS has now developed its own superchurch. Independent Baptists, in particular, pride themselves in their anti-ecumenism. No fundamentalist preacher worth his salt would be caught dead at the local church federation meeting where he has to rub shoulders with a charismatic or liberal preacher. However, they don't think twice about paying a large fee to go to a Chitwood or CLA seminar and sit next to one of these religious outcasts to learn how to be a good IRS-approved church and pastor. It is now a fact that in order to get and keep the tax-exempt status, a church must agree that all religions are equal. The new application for recognition of exemption, Form 1023 Schedule A for churches, revised in September of 1998, demands a declaration to this effect with the following words at point number 3. Does the organization require prospective members to renounce other religious beliefs or their membership in order in other churches or religious orders to become members? Yes, no, if yes, describe. It doesn't take much intelligence to figure out where they're going with this one. In order to be considered a legal church or tax exempt in America, the church or religious organization will have to declare that all religions are equal. They will also have to declare that they do not believe that their doctrinal position only results in converts to their faith having eternal life. They must renounce this narrow inclusivist position. Maybe we now know why Billy Graham, Robert Shuler, or Pat Robertson and other TV preachers have been making such fuzzy remarks about the adherents of other religions, though sincere, going to heaven without receiving Christ. Again, I implore you to check out my February 29, 2004 radio broadcast entitled Pope and Others Declare Jesus Not Needed. I share documented statements that Billy Graham, Robert Shuler, Pope John Paul, and Cardinal Francis Arens comments that they're making concerning Jesus and salvation. And by the way, Cardinal Francis Arens, again, he's slated as the next possible pope. He's the one that spearheads the ecumenical charge for Rome. Getting back to the article, it says, in that tax exemption is government subsidy, according to the Supreme Court in the Bob Jones University case, it is now clear that the U.S. government will not support any religion that clings to the narrow-minded belief that salvation in Jesus Christ alone. Remember, come shekels, come jackals. The word church isn't coming. It is already here. Or I'm sorry, the world church isn't coming. It's already here. And the preachers don't have a clue as they go merrily along, hand in hand, with the great harlot to the wedding with the Antichrist. And by the way, for more information regarding the One World Church that officially started on June 26, 2000, and is, by the way, headed up by none other than Pope John Paul II, he was actually elected leader of it if something like this were to come to be in 1999, a year in advance. You can see my July 4, 2000 newsletter entitled, The One World Church Officially Started. You'll be shocked as to what's next when you see that newsletter. Okay, getting back to the article, it says, one of the reasons the IRS gave to TexMars Living Truth Ministries for removing their tax-exempt status as follows. Much of the material you disseminate promises to address possible conspiracies or threats, either from individuals, groups, or various agencies, against Christianity, freedom, or other rights. This is evident from a review of your newsletters and order forms. The titles and promotional materials are designed to sensationalize and grab the reader's attention. They usually imply that the works will expose certain prominent groups, individuals, politicians, or government agencies as being part of or linked to some threat or conspiracy. One of the titles that the IRS gave as an example included Bible Prophecy and the Conspiracy. Any grade school child in Sunday school, again, this is an article I'm reading, any grade school child in Sunday school knows that you can't teach or write on Bible prophecy without dealing with the second coming of Jesus Christ. But just as the Russian pastors under communism were forbidden to speak on this subject, we are now coming to the same place in our beloved land. It is obvious that if one believes in the literal return of Jesus Christ, that they will be considered a domestic terrorist. In that, the Lord Jesus will destroy wicked government upon his return in great glory and break the back of the Gentile world rule. This message isn't popular with the infor-hells. This is how this guy writes this article. He says, like, instead of infidel, he's calling them infor-hells. And the high-heeled bells that run our country today. Of course, they don't believe that he is coming, but they believe that we do We who do will be involved in what they call self-fulfilled prophecies and try to hasten his coming by blowing up everything in sight. Further evidence of this type of antichrist thinking surfaced recently when a brochure put out by the FBI in Phoenix, Arizona, named Potential Domestic Terrorists that law enforcement should be aware of. One of these groups is doomsday cult types. Obviously, this would include all Bible-believing preachers and churches in America. We not only believe that there will be a literal doomsday, we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will bring doom when he comes, Revelation 6, verses 12 to 17. It won't do any good to claim that your church is not a cult. The IRS definition fits the average Bible-believing church to a T. Now, like I said earlier, the government doesn't believe Jesus is coming back, but they do believe we believe it. And they also believe Christians are crazy enough to hasten his coming by attacking them. How insane is that? I mean, true Christians already know the prophecies will fulfill whether we try to get involved or not. The Lord is not a liar. With that said, were you aware that the Vatican itself doesn't believe in the second coming? Not too long ago, they put out articles in the Italian press telling people not to worry that the end was not near, so don't worry about it. Headline, Pope assures Italians the end is not yet nigh. To the dismay, I like the way they put this. I mean, this is from the Times, April 24th, 1998, by Richard Owen in Rome. But look at the way they... This is nice. I mean, I just got one little tiny excerpt out of the article. You got the whole article on my site, but I just got one sentence. Listen to this. It goes, to the dismay of Seventh-day Adventists, but to the relief of everyone else, the Pope has declared that the world is not about to end. The reason he said Seventh-day Adventists is because the Roman Catholic Church hates Sabbath keepers with a passion. It has to do with the Mark of the Beast, what we were talking about a few months ago. Sunday is the Mark of the Beast. Saturday is the mark or the sign of God. And that's why they mentioned Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. I mean, when the Seventh-day Adventist Church started out, it was more a threat, but now it's the 11th hour, and the remnant of her seed are being called to do what we're doing. All right, truth is, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So is it any wonder the Roman Catholic-controlled IRS would have the same belief structure? Getting back to the article, it says, many have asked if we can actually show them in this in the law. Our answer is no. We can't because you can't. You won't find a specific law that says that you can't preach on the second coming of Jesus Christ in America today. That's because they don't have to write a law to gain the same effect. All Congress has to do is give an outlaw agency like the IRS carte blanche privilege of making up their own so-called laws as they go along. The churches agreed to do this when they signed their tax-exempt contract. They said that they would obey all laws, federal, state, and local, presently and in the future, but they apparently didn't read the fine print. The new churches filing for tax exemption must agree to do the following. The corporation or organization shall have no power to take any action that would be required for a tax exemption under Internal Revenue Code Section 501c3 and related regulations, rulings, and procedures. It is now the procedure of the IRS to refuse tax-exempt status to those churches that will not agree that all religions are equal and who refuse to join, through tax exemption, the World Church. Also preaching on Christ's coming is taboo. For those churches which are foolish enough to believe that Section 508 of the IRS code allows an automatic exemption for churches, need to read it again. It doesn't say exemption. It says churches have a mandatory exception. The exception is from filing a form 1023 to make an application for not-for-profit status. And here's the kicker. Churches have to abide by the same rules that those that do file for this privilege. And if they do not, the IRS can, and most assuredly will, remove their tax exemption. The only thing missing is the annual form 990 that other religious organizations have to file. When this is required, the churches will be under total control of the IRS with no wiggle room whatsoever. In the Baptist Temple court case, the church learned that a New Testament church does not legally exist in the U.S. today because there are no longer any First Amendment protections left. The genius of the First Amendment and various religious freedom clauses of the 50 states is that, for the first time in history, a New Testament church could exist legally without having, in the words of the IRS, a distinct legal existence. Now even a New Testament church will be assigned by force the legal status of an association and will be expected to meet the same standards that the not-for-profits have to meet. But they still won't have their God-given right of a non-taxable status. This status is in contrast to an exempt status, which is a privilege, not a right. They finish off the article by saying, little subtitle header here, it says, IRS agent says that churches are trapped. They finish it off by saying, the evidence as to what we are saying, though denied by most preachers, was made clear on January 24th this year in Tampa, Florida. IRS agent Melvin Bluff, I believe, B-L-O-U-G-H, Bluff, testified in a federal court that once a church obtains the status of 501c3 under the IRC, I imagine that's our Internal Revenue Code, they are trapped. The only way to be removed from a 501c3 status is if the IRS chooses to remove the exemption. So if you dissolve the corporation and continue on as ABC Church, an unincorporated church, you're still trapped in their web and under their control. He further testified that a church is automatically exempt under the federal law without 501c3 designation. He also stated under oath that churches request the status just to get the government stamp of approval. Even though Bluff used the word exemption rather than exception, he is essentially correct in his assessment of the plight of the churches of America. It is obvious that, regardless, the result is the same. Enough said? I think so. And I just realized that my real player shut down, so I'm not going to be able to get this broadcast on my website until Tuesday or Wednesday when First Amendment Radio puts the their copy on their website in the archives section. So I apologize for that. I've been having a shaky internet connection last couple, well today anyway, but then I guess we're all getting attacked. And but anyway, when I first saw this article a couple of years ago, I believe it was, it really, you know, as I say, as many of you know as I say, it frosted my bonnet. I mean, I couldn't deal with not just letting it sit idly by. You know, even though it's the people that are being attacked here by the IRS are not Sabbath keepers, you know, they're brothers, you know, even though we have to help them as best we can in that respect. I mean, they do claim Christ as Lord, but and the Lord wakes at our times of ignorance if we don't understand, because I don't know it all either. And so, you know, I'm praying that the Lord winks at a lot of stuff that I can't understand. And he does, because our God is not a liar. But it really, really bothered me to see how they made an example of this one church in Indiana. Now, I don't know if it's the same church that I read about years ago, you know, a couple of years ago, when this did go down, the church that I heard about was went so far as to not rely on the Lord for his assistance, because the Bible does say no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Instead, he decided to go with a militia situation, which I am adamantly opposed to. I mean, you know, either we are going to trust the Almighty as David did when he ran towards Goliath with those smooth stones, or we're not. If we're going to put faith in our own, like, I mean, look at the Pope. He drives around in a Pope mobile that's bulletproof because he has no faith in the Lord protecting him. And you know why David picked up those smooth stones instead of just one? He picked up five, I believe, my memory. Because Goliath had four brothers. And if you want to do a Bible study on that one day, just drop me an email, and I'll share it with you how I found out about that. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. This is Nicholas, signing off again this week. The website is www.remnantsofgod.org. Please stop by www.sbrvoice.org when you get a chance, as well as lightministries.com. Rob Fessler, author and pastor Rob Fessler, will return again. We're going to hopefully do one broadcast every month, at least the second Sunday of each month. He's scheduled for the 14th of November if nothing else happens. So thanks again for listening. Thanks to us at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for allowing the present truth to be proclaimed so freely. See you next time, everybody. God bless.